Okay, well, that could be for a number of reasons. Domestic violence is all about power and control, and I would assume that, you know, if you've got that repetitive psychological harm and threats being instilled into you, as a woman, you would probably feel very helpless and fear what the consequences would be of leaving that relationship. There's many reasons as to why people stay.
And talking about women seeking refuge, do women have to meet or children have to meet any kind of criteria to seek refuge in a shelter?
No, there's a number of pathways into women's shelters. There can be direct referrals from police or domestic violence services. A woman and children can actually self-refer. And the criteria is pretty much you've got to be homeless as a result of domestic violence, or your safety as it is at risk and you need to be in a refuge so you and your children are safe.
And sometimes signs of this kind of violence appear outside of the home, but people tend to ignore it. Why don't you think people do anything when they see the signs?
You mean people out in the community?
Yes.
Well, look, I think it used to be a dirty little secret years ago. People used to just shut their doors and their windows and think that this is none of my business. I think in this day and age, I think there were 78 women killed in 2015. It's everybody's responsibility now to at least report the matter to the police so the police can attend and do a welfare check just to make sure that the people that are living within that house are safe.
And moving on to the police, what are the police doing to curb domestic and family violence?
Well, I guess the police spend a good, you know, in our area down here, you know, 60% of all their call-outs are domestic violence related. We have a service that's actually co-located at the police station, so we work very closely with the police, prosecutors, and the courts to make sure that there is a good response to domestic and family violence. But, you know, we're telling people to report, but there's got to be the infrastructure on the ground to take those reports. So, you know, there needs to be more police on the ground. There needs to be more, you know, domestic violence service workers on the floor to take these calls and to make these families safe.
And even with these issues, even if there are signs outside, there aren't always. And we can't always preempt issues and attacks such as was the case with Damien Little in Port Lincoln.
Yep.
How do we combat these kind of incidents?
Well, I guess, it's the red flags, you know. I have very strong values around this matter. Yes, they're saying they were mental health issues, but there's got to be red flags. You know, people need to put their hand up and go, you know, I don't think this woman and children are safe. Mental health services need to take responsibility if they think that there's threats or family violence. They need to take these threats seriously. This man murdered his two children. Bottom line, he murdered them. It is a domestic violence murder. So, you know, there would have to have been flags leading up to that.
And it's just a matter of being perceptive and noticing them.
Well, and I think in every service that actually assists these people, whether it's mental health, whether it's drug and alcohol, whether it's police, whether it's domestic violence services here, if they believe that there is a serious risk there for that person's safety, you know, you need to talk to other services. It needs to be flagged that these people are at risk.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Sue, for joining me this morning to speak about it.